Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to
Fun!
While
Fun
cloaks itself in a plethora of disguises, its favorite mantle still remains
Fun. Fun
devours all it touches, its voracious appetite rarely fulfilled. Yet
Fun
doesn't only destroy, it creates and molds as well. Let's examine closely then this dangerously evil creation, this new breed. But a word of caution, handle it with care and don't drop your guard. This rapacious new breed prowls both alone and in packs, operating at any level, any time, anywhere, and with anybody. Who are they?
CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. It's a few minutes past 7:30. It's going to be a special show tonight for Karasu, which is an all-Japanese music program. If you haven't heard of it, now you know what it is now. It's like I said, it's going to be a special show. I'm going to be playing a lot of Japanese traditional instruments, both in its traditional style and in a contemporary style. And near 8 o'clock, I'm going to have a special guest who will be performing live in the studio for the first time for this program. His name is Alkun Takigawa Ramos, and he'll be playing the shakuhachi. So please stay on the air. If you are listening to the radio, you're listening to my voice. If not, you can also listen to it on the web at www.citr.ca. And I hope you guys enjoy it. I'm going to be playing the theme song, but since I have to, you know, not make it too punky because we're going to be playing a lot of traditional instruments, this is the original song of Uemita Aruko, also known as Sukiyaki, and it is by Sakamoto Q. You're listening to 101.9. always is a classic, stays as a classic. That was Sakamoto Q with Uemuite Aruko. And yeah, it really hits my heart anytime I hear that song. I always hear that song when I'm in Japan, whenever I go to any supermarket just before it closes. I think there's like this common theme throughout Japan to play that song to just let the customers know to get the hell out. But nonetheless, it's a great tune. That was Sakamoto Q. This is Kalasu. My name is Alex Ishijima, and it is 10 minutes into the program. I will be playing a lot of Japanese music, but particularly for today, I will be playing a lot of Japanese traditional instruments such as shamisen, shakuhachi, and taiko. So I hope you guys will enjoy it. I will do some PSAs at 8 o'clock, and as I mentioned earlier, there will be a live performance of a shakuhachi by Alkvin Takigawa Ramos, and I think it'd be a wonderful show. By the way, you can also listen to this program on our website, and there's also podcasting available right now. You can go to www.citr.ca and you can just click on Kalasu or many other shows that we have on this wonderful radio station at UBC. I'm going to be playing a few tracks from the Yoshida Brothers. If you don't know who they are, maybe I'll tell you who they are. The Yoshida Brothers are a pair of brothers that are playing an instrument called the Tsugaru Jamisen. Jamisen is a shamisen. Shamisen is like a banjo, I would say, a Japanese-style banjo. And these brothers, they debuted back in 1999. And since then, they've been really attracting a lot of international audience. They played a lot of traditional instruments, but they have great passion for blues and jazz as well. So what I'm going to do on this program is to first play a traditional form of the shamisen, and then right after that I'll talk a little bit more of the Yoshida Brothers and the shamisen, and follow it up with a more contemporary jazzy, perhaps a poppy style from the same instrument. So I think it'd be a wonderful show. Shamisen is a three, it literally means it's a three-taste string. So it's played with a bachi, which is basically a plectrum. The plectrum is usually made out of ivory or tortoise, and it's shaped like a ginkgo leaf. And for the shamisen, as I mentioned earlier, it looks like a banjo, but the body part is quite rectangular, and the neck is very narrow as well, and that's why they only have three strings, since hence shamisen. The body of the shamisen, the rectangular area, is at first it was usually made from the skin of a dog or a cat. Nowadays, you know, because of people about talking about animal cruelty, I don't want to have a shamisen made out of a cat, of course. Nowadays they're using plastic and paper, but they say that the best quality of a shamisen is usually from the belly of the cat, and if it's really good, you can actually see the nipples on the body of the shamisen as well. I never seen one like that, but if you go through the internet, perhaps you could find one funky shamisen. Another type of shamisen, for example, the ones in Okinawa, it's also known as a sanshin, can have like a snake skin layer of it as well. And they say that the shamisen evolved from a Chinese instrument called a sanjian as well. So if you have a Chinese background, maybe that'll give you like a better understanding of what a shamisen looks and sounds like. I will be playing one of the songs from the Yoshida Brothers debut album. The song and the title of the album is called Ibuki, and if at first it sounds a little slow, but it'll pick up and you'll just love the intensity and the energy from these brothers. Hope you guys enjoy it. This is CITR. Thank you. That was Yoshida Brothers with the song Ibuki from the album with the same title, Ibuki. And I'll be playing another song by the Yoshida Brothers. And but before that, let me just tell you a few things I would like to share with you guys. First of all, if you're looking for a job and would love to teach English, you could go to the JET program. You could go to the website www.jetprogram.org. And if you're going to be graduating next April, this might be very interesting for you. The JET program, the Japan English and Teaching Program, takes several applicants and candidates to go to Japan and work and study there for 1 year. And while you're teaching English and Canadian culture to the students, you get to learn more about Japan as well. For more information, you could check the Consulate of Japan in Vancouver or go to the website. Again, it is www.jetprogram.org. Or if you're a Japanese English bilingualist, very fluent, and would like to work in a Japanese corporation, perhaps you would like to go to the Boston Career Forum. But for 3 days, starting from November 17th to the 19th, you'll be able to meet and greet with over 170 corporations that will be gathered at the Boston. And if you'd like to find more information, go to www.careerforum.net, and you better sign up very early and do some research, because there are receiving resumes as well in both Japanese and English. Again, that'll be www.careerforum.net. The next song I'm going to be playing will be one of my favorites. It's the Yoshida Brothers. It's from their other CD. It's called Soulful, and this shows more of the contemporary style in the jamisen, tsugaru jamisen music. The song I'm going to be playing is composed by Yoshida Kenichi, the brother. I'm not too sure if it's the younger or the older. I better check on that. But madrugada in Spanish means sun. No, it means dawn, I believe. Correct me if I am wrong, but I believe it is dawn. And it actually has like this very moody, groovy sound that kind of shows like the really cool air of the morning sunrise, and you can just feel the sun starting to warm you up and get yourself going. And it has like a very strong rhythm section in the back. It's very interesting to hear some drumming with some this jamisen as well. So I will be playing a track right now, and if you have any questions or comments, please give me a call, 604 UBC CITR. That's 604-822-CITR. This is another track by the Yoshida Brothers. That was the Yoshida Brothers from the album Soulful, and I hope you guys enjoyed that track. And in the studio, I have a shakuhachi performer, and he will be playing a tune tonight as well. And I would like to welcome Alkevin Takigawa Ramos. It's a pleasure to have you in the studio.
Thank you, Alex.
Yes, great. So maybe you could get a little background of where you're coming from. I believe you were born in Japan, but mm-hmm. you have a Filipino background.
Yes, I do.
Yes.
Yes.
And how did you discover this? Actually, let's talk about the shakuhachi first. What is a shakuhachi?
Shakuhachi is the representative vertical bamboo flute of Japan. And there's other side-blown horizontal flutes, but from the vertical flute family, this is the representative flute, and it's probably the most well-known sound outside of Japan of the flute family.
Okay,
for sure.
And I believe that compared to like many other like these pipe mm-hmm. instruments, such mm-hmm. as like a recorder or a clarinet,
yeah.
I think one of the fascinating qualities of a shakuhachi is that even from the same instrument, you could get different sounds coming from it.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah, there's a wide and an infinite number of tone colors, sounds that you can get. It's probably the most, I'd say, the most expressive instrument in the world.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
but that's me. I'm a shakuhachi player. So.
Of course.
Everybody says that about their instrument.
Yeah, my best instrument is a shakuhachi. Of course, right? But how did you get involved playing with the instrument? Like, how did you discover the shakuhachi?
Well, when I was in high school, I was watching the movie Ran by Kurosawa Akira.
Oh, that's one of my favorite movies.
Yes. Oh, God, it's lovely. But there's a scene in there where the hermit prince Tsurumaru was exiled yes. in the tundra. And they show a shot of him playing in the hut. Yes. This yokobue. Oh, yes. Actually, it was actually the sound of a nokan, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that sound really touched me. And I was in high school. I didn't even know about Japanese music, mm-hmm. traditional music. And I'm like, oh my God, that's a beautiful. Oh, I want to learn that flute big time. But it didn't look like a nokan. It looked more like a thin, like bamboo, like more like a shinobue or
yes.
something.
Yes.
So that sound, I said, okay, I got to do research on Japanese flutes. So I went to the library,
yes.
local library, and I'm like, okay, Japanese flutes. So I said, okay, there's all these flutes. And then I read, I said, what's this shakuhachi? It's a vertical flute.
Yeah.
So I read about it. I'm like, dang, this is amazing. It's like, it has all this, because I was very interested in Eastern philosophy and martial arts at the time.
Right.
And it had
okay.
all that in there. Martial arts, it had the philosophy, it had Buddhist, Zen, whatever. And then I'm like, what does it sound like? So I asked, okay, is there a CD of this kind of music? So I I got the CD in the library, and go ahead.
And then it just
I heard the CD,
there,
and I'm like, this is awesome. I got to learn this instrument.
I just love that, the great passion that you have from it. But
yeah.
When I checked your website,
yeah.
you said that you said that you studied philosophy, and
yes.
you're thinking about after graduation, you were going into a monastery,
yeah.
but decided to pursue a career performing with the shakuhachi.
Yeah.
Does playing the shakuhachi also have like this philosophical aspect or a religious aspect in its performance?
Absolutely. Well, I have to say it depends on the individual.
Yeah.
The original music was deeply religious,
mm-hmm.
but now it evolved, or some say devolved, into
yeah.
a performance art.
Right.
It's a definite performance art now.
Right.
And depending on the individual, most people in Japan, I have to say, take it as a musical study.
Yes.
No religion,
yes.
no you know, spirituality behind it.
Yes.
There could be, maybe there is. Maybe there's some. There's some people who adhere to the old traditions. Yes,
mm-hmm.
they do. And I certainly do.
Yeah.
From when I play, my life is this is my
yeah.
life. And so,
Of course, the music, like, it is like an expression of your own self.
Yeah.
Like, I think
yeah.
a lot of musicians will agree on that. But
yeah.
what I like about this instrument is that it's really easy to have some like fusion music with
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
I've seen
yeah.
people playing the shakuhachi like in
uh-huh.
a jazz ensemble.
Absolutely.
For example.
Yes,
and
yes.
Having like this versatility of playing with the different sounds, it really
totally.
Takes the jazz to the next level. I really love
yeah.
the performances.
I think so.
It.
Yeah. Well, that's attributed to, obviously, the West actually helped in that, all that thing, because before the Meiji era, which is the turn of the 20th century, then the shakuhachi is very, it was, there had no relative, there was no pitch, basically, set, concert pitch or whatever. And it was just a raw bore, but when West started to influence Japan heavily, especially with the military music, then they felt a need to catch up, and so they refashioned the bore. And they started to lacquer the bore and to make it pitch really tight. And so therefore you could play with other instruments, and then from there it just started to get just refined, the sound more bigger, more louder, different experimentation. And so now it's as it is right now, which is very good. It's beautiful. It's just an evolution of the instrument. I love it when they fuse with other instrument styles.
Awesome. And you will be performing in the studio tonight. But before that, maybe we could get the sound of another shakuhachi performer that was in Vancouver. His name is Takeo Yamashiro.
He still is. Yes,
I'm very sorry. Mr. Yamashiro, if you're listening to this program. This is from the Matsuri CD, which is a CD that was created from the anniversary of the Powell Street Festival.
Wonderful.
And we're going to be playing it right now. And then right after that, we're going to have Alvin playing a tune for us. You're listening to 101.9 CITR. And if you have any questions, please give us a call, 604-822-CITR. That's 822-2487. And we're going to be playing a little bit of shakuhachi music right now.
Thank you.
That was Mr. Takeo Yamashiro playing the shakuhachi from the CD Matsuri, which is a collection of works by Japanese-Canadian musicians and composers made by the Powell Street Festival. So we're going to be having a live performance. First time, by the way, first time in history on my show. Very excited. And could you tell me the name of the song that you're going to play today?
Okay. Alvin? It's off the top of my head. This is, I'll just play Tsuru no Sugumori. Tsuru no Sugumori, okay. Or Nesting of the Cranes.
Nesting of the Cranes. Okay, great. Is there like some little information, like some background about this song?
Sure. There's many, many versions of this song. I learned three. This is the first one I learned. And the story is basically a very descriptive story of life cycle of the cranes. From the morning daybreak when the chicks start to move in the nest, and the mother goes out and gets food, and then the chicks grow up and die. Yes. Grow up and the mother dies. Da, da, yes. Da. And it uses a lot of crane sounds with the throat. So tamane, we call it.
Okay, so we could like hear like the sound of those cranes from the shakuhachi.
Yes,
as well.
Oh, totally.
This is
totally
gonna be amazing. So ready when you are. And okay. Thank you. And we're gonna be listening to the song, the shakuhachi performance, live on 101.9 FM by Alvin Takegawa Ramos.
Thank you. Thank you.
Wow, thank you very much. Wow, this is, it's very beautiful. I really like it. We talked about it earlier that that was all from one instrument. Like, it's, we just talked about the flexibility, the sound, and the quality from it. And could you just, but near the end of the song, it became very fast-paced and pretty, like, it was going all over the place. Yeah. Is that supposed to resemble anything? Or with the cranes?
It's kind of the... it's more of a, with the cranes itself, it's like the images of kind of a psychological or spiritual, like, you know, at the end towards, you know, reaching for life or something. For
right. When the, so like the struggle?
The
or?
Struggle, yeah, yes. Feeling. And in Japanese music, this kind of build up to a high, fast ending is very traditionally Japanese. They call it Jōhaku.
Jōhaku.
Yeah, you start very, very slow, and then you gradual speed up, and mm-hmm. then smooth ending.
Smooth ending. Yeah. It was a big contrast. What I liked about that song is the very large contrast from three quarters of the way when we were talking about the chaotic, and then mm-hmm. from after that, it was like very tranquil, and mm-hmm. it really gave me like this sense of peace mm-hmm. in my mind. Is that what it's aiming for in this music, like yeah. near the end
yeah.
too?
This is right.
Yeah.
Yeah,
well,
right, yeah.
I feel like I'm in this Nirvana mode.
Yeah.
Right now. Yeah, well, definitely. Thank you very much for the performance. We'll be right back. We will be talking a little bit more about the shakuhachi, and if you're looking for a place to learn shakuhachi, we'll be talking about his school as well. Before that, I will be playing a track from the Uzume Taiko Ensemble. The album's called Every Part of the Animal, and Alkvin is in this song as well. It's in the last track. The song is called is it the last one?
No, can I pick one for that time?
Oh, you would like to choose one? Sure, absolutely.
Yeah, that's Takasan again, actually. This
would be the request. Yes.
Yeah, so I'll be actually playing Fue on this one, Shinobue. And Stealing Thunder.
What number is that one?
That's track number 1, 2, 3, 4.
3, 4.
Stealing Thunder.
Okay, great. It is going to be an 11-minute track.
Okay.
And we'll be right back with this song. And if you have any questions, please give us a call. 604-822-CITR. And you're listening to Kalasu. And my name is Alex Tsujijima. We'll be right back.
Ah!
Charlie Harper from the UK subs over in London, England, saying hello, Vancouver, on CITR 101.9 FM. Don't stop listening. Support your local radio.
Okay, great. We're back into the program. That was the Uzume Taiko, and the song was called Stealing Thunder, and we're back in the house with Alvin Takegawa Ramos.
Alcevin.
Oh, sorry.
Alcevin.
Alcevin?
Yes,
sorry, I pronounced the name wrong for the past 30 minutes. So, Alcevin, we're going to be talking a little bit more of the shakuhachi.
Right.
What I like about your school, we'll be talking about your school as well, is that you actually get go on a field trip, perhaps, so to say, to go on a bamboo harvest to find the right bamboo for making the shakuhachi.
Yes.
Could you talk a little bit more about the process, like how?
Sure.
What is that?
Sure. So in making, actually, just to give you a little bit information about the actual harvesting.
Yes.
Most shakuhachi players in Japan, and the majority of them, maybe 98% of them, don't do this.
Oh, really?
They leave the harvesting to the makers.
Oh.
Actually, they leave the harvesting to the harvesters, and the makers go to the harvesters to buy bamboo from them.
So this is like your own idea?
No, the idea came from Okuda Atsuya. Atsuya Okuda-san, who is a raw boar shakuhachi master in Japan.
Yeah.
And he developed this whole thing about taking his students into the mountains and harvesting their own bamboo and making your own flutes. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was a stroke of genius. It's an amazing, beautiful idea to get the person, if you're a shakuhachi player, to the whole into the process of actually making your own flute.
Yes.
From the beginning, very beginning, harvesting to the very end when you play it and you grow with the flute through the years. I thought it was an incredible idea. And I thought... Mm. Man, I was studying with him in Japan
right.
for a couple of years, okay. and I said, if I ever have the opportunity, I want some Canadians to do that, or people who want to come with me anywhere in the world. Okay. So somehow everything connected together, and I got a group together.
Awesome.
In 2003, and that got the ball rolling, and then people liked it so much. That, you know...
It became more like an annual...
Every year.
Yeah.
Internet is a miracle. Where everybody knows about internet. They're like, oh, cool, long trip, they want to go. And so, it's there he is.
Where do you... where do you take your group to harvest these bamboos?
The main place we go to is Nagano with Okuda-san's group. We go with him and his school. And that's in the mountains of Nagano, where the Winter Olympics was. And so this year is a very special year for our tour because I made some connections in Kumamoto, and they have great bamboo there too. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be harvesting there too.
Okay.
And
when you go like harvesting for the bamboos, what kind of qualities do you look for in the bamboo to say, mm-hmm. you know, find the best material to make the instrument?
This process takes experience, but to do this, but you're basically looking for a good hard, nice hard.
We don't want any bamboo. Soft, flimsy.
Exactly.
Shaka,
you want a nice tight fibers, right?
Yes.
Hard bamboo, katai no take.
Yeah.
You know? You want a good formation, a nice round of shakuhachi, mm-hmm. not too oblong.
And the quality of the bamboo, like, it also changes the sound,
yes,
the tone.
Exactly,
as well.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. If the bamboo is too soft, you know, it won't sound so nice. You want a nice hard
right.
one. And if it's too fat, you know, it's not. The way the air moves through the bore, it won't be as nice. So
right.
you have to have just a prime, you know, balance.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
So it must take like several hours, so to say, you know, to choose the right bamboo carefully.
Right. Exactly.
That will be just right for you. It sounds quite related to like fate, so to say. Like
yeah.
you want to choose the right one so that
yeah.
for the years to come,
yeah.
you want to have the best sound.
Exactly.
On the shakuhachi.
Totally.
And
totally.
This is a field trip that you do
yes.
with the school. We're going to be talking a little bit more about the school itself.
Okay.
Maybe you could just do a first introduction of how you started the school of the shakuhachi in Vancouver.
Can I talk just a tad bit about the trip a little bit more, just real quickly?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Okay.
Of course. I didn't mean to cut you off there. No.
It's so interesting, so beautiful. I have to say it's probably the most unique tour out there as far as like musical Japanese music is concerned.
Yes.
For somebody who is into the music. We not only go harvesting for bamboo,
yes,
but we visit the last remaining Komuso temples.
What is a Komuso?
Komuso is the priests of nothingness that started the shakuhachi tradition. Lived in the Edo period and even before that.
Yes.
And at one time in Japan, there were over 250 temples all over Japan.
Oh, amazing.
At the turn of the century, the Meiji period, when Japan started to get westernized, they destroyed over 90% of the temples. And now there's only like four left.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And so we go to these temples and we offer our, our respect
yes.
to the ancestors and the shakuhachi mm-hmm. players of the past. And so we go to the temples and then we visit Shinto Shrine where we do cold water purification.
Yes.
And then we also do really deep meditation, Zen meditation, and the major Zen traditions of Rinzai and Soto Zen. And then we also, of course, do the typical like sightseeing things, go to onsens and everything.
You gotta love the hot springs. That's what onsen is, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sorry. Hot springs, which Japan is very famous for. And we go to Kyoto. We spend a lot of time in Kyoto doing the beautiful, going to all the beautiful places in Kyoto. We buy Japanese traditional samue for our practice.
Yes. And then, which reminds me, when you were talking about these, I guess they're monks the nothingness.
Yeah.
When I first met you, when I went to the Machi Matsuri, organized by the Mukyokai Society, you actually had some of the clothing articles, such as like this, not a helmet, but it's like this basket that covers
Tengai.
Is that what it's called? And it covers, it's sort of like those, I don't want to say it, it's sort of like a laundry basket. It's like those, it's very cylindrical, and you cover the entire head, like completely all around, and it really shuns yourself from the rest of the world.
You're totally anonymous, I mean, from there, you know.
Yes.
But that's the purpose of that basket hat, was to to basically to wipe out your identity, so to speak, so that no one knows who you are.
Okay.
And they had protection, you know, no one can touch these guys. They had governmental protection at the time that don't bother the komuso. They have special passes where they, at the time of Japan, all the borders were secured. Yeah. No one can cross the border.
This is during the feudal
Edo,
Japan?
Edo period.
That's around the 1600s.
Yeah, 16th to 18th century, 19th, end of 19th century.
Yes.
And so the komusos can go beyond these borders. They could pass all because they had the special license from the government. And so, but no one knew who they were.
Yeah.
So originally, the identity was supposed to be no ego, right? Because it's the particularly Zen philosophy. But they eventually got used by the government as spies. And so you got all this kind of folklore about ninjas becoming, you know, dressed up as komuso.
Komusos.
Yeah.
And the shakuhachi is becoming like a weapon.
Yeah,
like
it became
blow
a weapon.
Darts, perhaps.
Yeah. Blow darts, yeah.
Blow darts are sort of made like a hidden katana.
That's what they say. The mythology is that the reason why its root ended is because it was a weapon developed by these rogue komuso.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, we're not trying to promote violence, by the way.
It's
a very beautiful instrument. Yeah, but that's a very nice trivia to share about the shakuhachi.
Yeah, and its connection to martial arts, because it's very interesting that the ninjas were actually involved with this. And they did actually, there's some a ninja prince, actually, who developed some shakuhachi music in the past.
Do we still see this practice of this say nothingness, like they actually wear these clothings, these Asian clothings, and across Japan?
It's totally abolished at the Meiji, and no one practices this. No, I can't say that. There's a few now that still do, and actually this time in this November we're going to be going to a new komuso temple that's opening Kumamoto by a young Zen priest.
And when are you guys leaving, by the way?
October 31st, and starts November 1st and ends on November 26th.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And then would there be like a website to maybe talk about this?
www.bamboo-in.com. BambooIn.com.
Excellent. So please keep it up. We'll take a break one more time, and we'll be playing more tunes by some traditional instruments. But I'll be playing some shamisen. I know, you know, we were talking about shakuhachi, but we played some great stuff. But I'll be playing by the album Agatsuma.
It's great.
And then this song is very groovy. The song is called You. You means play. And it really has like this feeling of where like the children are like running around on a sunny day, maybe in a neighborhood. This is the feeling that I get whenever I play this song. And we'll be back with Alcevin. I got it right this time. And we'll be talking about the school. And if you would like to learn about the shakuhachi, then you could join and find more information about that as well. We'll be right back, and I'll be playing You on CITR. That was Agatsuma Hiromitsu, and the song is called You, and hope it brings you back to the days of dancing in the streets, especially if you're Japanese and lived in a Japanese neighborhood. It really brings you back. Not for me, I was born in Canada, so unfortunately I can't really feel that, but no, I still love that tune. Before I move on, I gotta do some public service announcements. First of all, at 9 o'clock, which is 20 minutes from now, it'll be the jazz show hosted by Gavin Walker from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. He will be playing some smooth, sensational jazz that may put yourself to tuck yourself in bed and go to sleep. So he'll be playing some great jazz music. Again, that's Gavin Walker, the jazz show from 9 o'clock tonight. And I'll be talking a few events that will be coming in Vancouver. First of all, a friend might kill me if I don't say this, Bloodshot 2006. There will be a Vancouver screening of some of the competitions movies that will be hosted by the Celluloid Social Club. It'll be on this Wednesday, October 25th at the Anza Club, which is 3rd West 8th Avenue, Vancouver. The doors will open at 7:30. The show starts at 8 o'clock. If you want to find more information on this horror film contest, please go to www.celluloidsocialclub.com. Furthermore, the Vancouver Asian Film Fest, the 10th annual, will be coming from November 1st to the 5th, where they will have over 14 programs, 40 films, and even 14 Asian celebrity actors will be hosting the event as well. They do not have the list, but I think it'll be a great surprise. There will also be a special event with Mina Shum and a live performance by the Assaulted Fish as well. For more information, go to www.vaff.org. That's the abbreviation for the Vancouver Asian Film Fest. Or you could email them at info@vaff.org. And finally, something related to Alsman will be the Ontophony CD release party at the Western Front, 303 East 8th Avenue. It'll be this Sunday, October 29th at 7 p.m. And it is a CD release party by Michael O'Neill, who is a Vancouver New Music composer. And the CD is also funded by this Canada Council. So that kind of tells you, you know, how promising the CD will be. Mm-hmm. And musicians that will be attending the event will include you, of course.
Yes, of course.
Alsevin and Uzume Taiko and many other musicians may be attending the event as well. For more information, you could email about the Ontophony CD release party by emailing at Michael O, there's no space there, Michael, like Michael Jackson, O, at a smart, but the S-M-A-R-T-T, there's two T's, .com. Okay, so we'll be talking a little bit more of the Shakuhachi and the Shakuhachi School in Vancouver. Are you the first and only one that opened this Shakuhachi school?
Yes. Kind of funny. I have a funny feeling about saying school. I mean, it might be a school. I'm the main teacher of this, you know, and I have students, you know. So, but I have a retreat center on the Sunshine Coast we call Bamboo Inn. And there, in the summertime, I accept students who live with me for a week max and weekends as well. And we do intensive Shakuhachi training in traditional Honkyoku or the traditional solo pieces, as well as meditation. So, But basically, I do teach every week in Vancouver, every month in Victoria, and I do give internet lessons to people anywhere in the world.
Okay, so how does the internet lesson work exactly?
Well, you have to have a computer, obviously, and you have to have a web camera. Mm-hmm. And you have to have appropriate software.
Yes.
So that we can communicate with. And so basically you set up your camera. We set up a time when we can meet online. And then we go lesson from there.
And but for the workshops and for the internet lessons, it'll be, what if the person doesn't know where to get a Shakuhachi? Is there a place in Vancouver where they could purchase one?
No. they go through me.
I
import Shakuhachis from Japan.
Okay.
From very fine makers. From beginner level Shakuhachis to fine art top quality shakuhachis.
Mm. Yeah. But nonetheless, since it's from Japan, it's quite authentic.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah. Every shakuhachi that I import is a totally made by a traditional maker.
Wonderful. Yes. Whoa. So, they could go to, where can they find more information? Again, it'll be from the website.
Yes, my website at www.bambooin.com, bambooin.com.
Great.
Yes. So that's the Shakuhachi Society of BC, which is also a nonprofit organization,
yes,
which I started. And then you can find my website in there with, yes, my, you know, everything about me and my projects and stuff.
From the biographies and everything, yeah, we talked about,
yeah,
to the lessons. And if you're listening and you want to learn Shakuhachi, yeah, this is the guy to meet. Alcevin Takigawa Ramos, it's a pleasure to have you in the studio. Thank you very much
for playing
live performances.
It's my pleasure.
Yes, thank you very much. And again, please check out the website, bamboo-in.com. Yes. Or you could just Google it up as well.
Exactly.
Shakuhachi Vancouver. You could just do that, and it'll probably be the first thing that will pop up. Yes. So we'll be playing a few more tracks, but maybe I'll be playing a few more public service announcements on the computer, but it seems like the computer shut down, so I can't really do that. So I'll be playing a track, hopefully, by DJ Crush. And after I set up the tunes in the CD player. But first, here's another PSA.
Sam from the Go Team, and you are listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
That was DJ Crush from the album Jaku, and the song is called Still Island. And again, I would like to say thank you very much for Alsman Takegawa Lamos to come to the studio and play a live performance and talk about his school and workshop as well that will be in Vancouver. And if you just missed all those information in the fantastic live performance, do not worry, we will have the podcasting available on the CITR website. Go to www.citr.ca, move your little tool called a mouse to podcasting, click on that, and then there will be the shows in different categories such as rock, world, jazz, yada yada yada. I will be in the eclectic section, and then just find the title Karasu, and then when you click on that, another pop-up will come out and there will be a list of shows that you will be able to download, and you can also subscribe to it and have it automatically loaded to the iTunes or any other music program that you like to listen to on your laptop or your PC or in the library or wherever you like to listen to the music program. Okay, that again, that's www.citr.ca. I will follow DJ Crush with some Unagi. Unagi is a fantastic Japanese-American DJ that also likes to place looping samples of Japanese traditional instruments with some hip-hop beat. Hope you guys enjoyed this track. It is from the album Keeping It Eel, because Unagi means eel in Japanese. And if you go to a sushi bar and order Unagi, it's just heavenly delicious. Try it out. Unagi is very good. Anyways, here's the DJ Unagi, Keeping It Eel. The song is called Relocation Blues. You're listening to 101.9. That was Unagi, Keeping It Eel. That's the name of the album, and the song is called Relocation Blues. Well, I only have a few minutes left. It is time to wrap it up. 皆さん、ありがとうございました。Thank you very much. And as I mentioned earlier, you can get this show and previous shows that I recorded on podcasting, www.citr.ca. I am going to pass the sweet mic to Gavin Walker for the jazz show that will be starting at 9 o'clock. And if you have any questions or comments or compliments or criticism for the program, you can email me. Go to katasuradio@hotmail.com. You can just send it there. And any message, I'll be greatly appreciated. And maybe if there are some tunes that you just enjoy listening, then I could give you some playlist as well. Other than that, thank you very much. And I will see you next week. Next week will be the day before Halloween, so therefore I'll be playing some heavy, horrific tunes from Japan that will maybe make you piss your pants while you're driving in the car, and I will share some ghost stories and perhaps some of my favorite bloody splatter movies, all from the land of the rising sun. I'm going to finish it off again with Sakamoto Q of Ue o Muite Aruko, the classic, and ありがとうございました。さよなら。また明日。See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
ひとりぼっちの夜